First of all, I would like to thank the leadership of the church who took over during our when we were away, especially when the pastor was away. Thank you for Brother John for taking the pulpit, and as well Brother Ramir Karandang, Brother Alex, and Brother Eugene last Sunday. And I thank you. I would commend as well the congregation for supporting the ministry. Even if the pastor is away, you still come and worship and do the ministry, support the ministry. It all shows that we are in the right path and we are a growing church. Even if there's the pastor's not there, you still come because we worship not the person, but we worship the living God. And GBC has been sending missions, you know, since 2004. Since 2004, we've been sending missions. The first mission trip that was done was in Halifax, Nova Scotia, if you still remember those. We visited, the mission team visited a church there in Halifax and ministered to them. And then after that, we went to Nicaragua for... I think we've been in Nicaragua for four times. The mission team been in Nicaragua for four times. If I'm not mistaken as well, three times we sent us a single delegate by Brother Ruben. And three times now that we've been in the Philippines, doing mission in the Philippines. So from 2004 to 2017, it's like that span of 13 years that the church has been doing mission, sending mission Philippines or in Nicaragua. So it's almost every year or almost every year that we're sending mission team. But in the last two or three mission team, we decided to do every 2 years that we'll be sending missions abroad. So, what is the goal of mission? Or why do we send missionary to mission? That's why I entitled my message today, The Mission's Mission, or The Goal of Mission. My goal today is to show how was the first mission in the New Testament and how our church do mission compared to the early church mission and why it's still relevant today. Let me ask you this question. Who was the first missionary sent by a church? Philip? Yes. No? Who was the first missionary sent by a church? Okay. I'll answer that later if you don't know. I must admit that I have some misconception regarding mission before I joined the mission team. First of all, it was my first time to join the mission team. My wife and my children, they've been to the mission trip before, twice, but this time I decided to join the mission team. It was my first time. And before joining the mission trip, I have these three misconceptions that I have regarding mission. One is, we do mission just for the purpose of saving the lost. So when I think of mission, it's like just to preaching the gospel, right? I thought at first that mission is only evangelism or sharing the gospel, and that's the only goal of mission. That is why my thinking of mission is going to a place where there are no churches in the area and start mission. But that is not what I see in the scripture. I thought that is, although some people still do that, that is called frontier mission, wherein missionaries go from a far place, a remote area, where the gospel has not been reached, and then they start missions there and proclaiming the good news. But what we're doing right now, because most of missionaries almost have been established, we do regular mission. Regular mission means you go to a place where the work has been started, and you supported that work. For example, we in Acts chapter 11, 19 to 24, we see here the first mission trip. Acts 11, chapter 19 to 24. It says that, "Now those who were scattered because of the persecution that arose over Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, speaking the word to no one except Jews." Verse 20, "But there were some of them, men of Cyprus and Cyrene, who on coming to Antioch spoke to the Hellenists also, preaching the Lord Jesus." Verse 21, "And the hand of the Lord was with them, and the great number who believed turned to the Lord. The report of this came to the ears of the church in Jerusalem, and they sent Barnabas to Antioch." Verse 23, "And when he came and saw the grace of God, he was glad, and he exhorted them all to remain faithful to the Lord with steadfast purpose. For he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit, of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord." So we see there, the first missionary being sent by a church, the church in Jerusalem, heard that there was a group of believers gathering who has been saved from the persecution of the believers when they were being persecuted in Jerusalem. They went that far to Phoenicia, Cyprus, and Antioch. And the believers there were gathered. And then when the church in Jerusalem heard about it, they sent Barnabas. And Barnabas, when he came, he had seen the grace of God. He was glad and encouraged them all that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the Lord. So it's not just proclaiming the good news to those who have not heard the good news yet, but even before, the first church in Jerusalem sent a missionary to encourage those small churches or just a starting church so that they would continue on to the Lord. So second misconception that I have is that we are not doing mission if we are not going through many hardships. The one being sent is not going through any hardships. When we are in mission, we should deprive ourselves from the comfort of this world. That's what I was my thinking. You go mission, you should sacrifice. Do sacrificial work. Deprive yourself from any comfort of this world. That is why I see that, and the Lord spoke to my heart that it should not be. And because when we were in mission, the Philippines, we came Sunday night, and then we rented, we have a place, it's like an empty apartment building. Men were stationed there with nothing, just bare floor. So we sleep on the floor. The women were on the other in the other house, which is my cousin's house, and they stayed there. So first night we didn't have any sleep at all. So hot, no aircon, bare floors. Some probably have their mattress, bought their mattress. But I said, this should be we could go through this because we're in mission. So they said, okay, they told me let's buy a mattress. So I said, no, have to buy. We bought instead banig, just to cover the concrete floor. I say, second night, still, our back was sore. My back is sore. I couldn't sleep. So that second day, everyone is grumpy. He didn't get any sleep. And they just, everything is sore. You know, having been in the comfort of your own home with AC, with soft mattresses, you feel comfortable. But going there, nothing. So I said, if we're going to be doing mission and proclaiming the good news and everyone is not even smiling, it's grumpy, how can we share that good news? And how can they say, tell us that the good news? So finally, Sister Jen convinced me to buy that foam mattress. And we bought the foam mattress, and yes, we do have a good sleep. We still experiencing some jet lag, so we wake up 4 o'clock in the morning, and then the next day, 5 o'clock in the morning, and then the next day, until we get used to it. Although there is no, it's still hot, you are only electric fan, so you sweat during the night, and then you're sticky, so it's discomfort. And we during our stay there, the women wanted to eat in at least nice restaurant or clean restaurant because they don't want to get sick. And I said to myself, why is it if we go do mission, we should at least go to that not expensive restaurant so that at least we have to be with the people that we're ministering to. But then again, the Lord spoke to me through Brother Michael. Where's Michael? Michael's not here. Michael Faku, on the second day, got sick. You know, Michael is a very masculine man. Eh? And he got sick, and it's like he's so much in pain that he was sweating and shivering, and he couldn't even walk. So I think the Lord spoke to me that we don't need to go through those, even if we do mission. If all the mission team got sick, so we cannot do the mission. So, okay, I said, we could go to a nice restaurant, but but everyone picked the tab for the restaurant's bill. Mark 10:28 says, then Peter began to say to him, to the Lord Jesus Christ, says, see, we have left all and followed you. And Jesus answered and said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or fathers or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel's, who shall not receive 100-fold now in these times, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions, and in the age to come, eternal life. John Piper, commenting on sacrifice in his book, Desiring God Regarding Mission, says, what was Jesus' attitude to Peter's? Sacrificial spirit. Peter said, we see we have left everything and followed you. Piper commenting in this, is this the spirit of self-denial commended by Jesus? No, she said. It is rebuke. Jesus said, no one ever sacrificed anything for me that I do not pay back 100-fold. The response of Jesus indicates that the way to think about self-denial is to deny yourself only a lesser good for a greater good. And Piper further adds, in the end, the reason Jesus rebukes us for a self-pitying spirit of sacrifice is that he aims to be glorified in the great missionary enterprise. And the way he aims to be glorified is by keeping himself in the role of benefactor and keeping us in the role of beneficiaries. He never intends for the patient and the physician's reverse roles. Even if we are called to be missionaries, we remain invalids in Christ's sanatorium. We are still in need of a physician. We are still dependent on him to do humanly impossible in us and through us. We may sacrifice others are being strengthened and encouraged. They might someday be instrument of God's grace. So, what does the Piper is saying here. He says, we may sacrifice other things to enter Christ's household, but we are there for our spiritual health, not to pay back a debt to the doctor. Sometimes missionaries will say, sacrifice a lot of things. They lost the, see? Probably will say, see, I leave my job to following you. And sometimes the glory is being given to that person, not Christ. But Christ says it should be his own glory, the lesser benefactor, the lesser for his own glory. So, the third misconception that I have is when we do mission, we should always take a risk. We studied the book that says sometimes, I think by Piper as well, that risk is right when you do a mission. Yes, there is a risk in doing mission. Even in our text, it says that we must, through many tribulations, enter the kingdom of God. Though there is a risk involved in doing mission, we should not be looking for it. I remember when we're going to Pugaro, the first day or the second day we're going to do mission work. We go to the Pugaro, and going to Pugaro is like an island. It takes the boat for 15 minutes ride, but the boat you are going into is they don't give you a life jacket. Plus, when you go in, you have to be somebody that you should keep still, otherwise you might tip the boat and you might go overboard. And not a lot of us knows how to swim. And people are scared, doesn't move when they sit on the boat. I said, we should not be scared. Risk is right. Doing mission, risk is right. But again, though there is a risk involved in doing mission, we should not be looking for it. So, the next time we go to Pugaro, we just took our bus going around, because there's a way going around it to Pugaro. But it takes you 1.5 hours ride to go around for 15 minutes or 1.5 hours. So we took the 1.5 hour ride going through there. Yeah. Though there is a risk involved in doing mission, we should not be looking for it. Acts 17:10 says, then the brethren immediately sent Paul and Silas away by night to Berea. In that context, somebody wanted to kill Paul, and when the brethren learned about it, they took Paul during the night immediately, and they sent him away to Berea. Was this cowardly? Shouldn't be there, but should be, risk should be right? Is it cowardly fleeing to Berea? No. Jesus himself had commanded in Matthew 10:23, when they persecute you in this city, flee to another city. And Christianity Today writes, while there are some that are called to risk life and limb for the sake of spreading the gospel, we have to break the mindset that martyrdom is the goal of mission. Yes, there's this risk. Some people have to risk it. There's no other choice. It's a possibility many missionaries face, but it's not a given. So those are my misconceptions regarding mission. And God, through my experience during the mission, that has been taken away. Now, going back to our text. I tell the message, the mission's mission, or the goal of mission. I find three primary goals of mission, and most of us probably knows this already. But I want to reiterate it so that we know that what we are doing is what the scriptures prescribes through the examples of the first missionaries in the New Testament. Going back to our text, let's read it again. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and drug him. Oh, that's verse 19. Let's go to 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, and saying, "We must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God." So when they had appointed elders in every church and prayed with fasting, they commanded them to the Lord in whom they had believed. And after they had passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. Now when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attaleia. From there they sailed to Antioch, where they had been commended to the grace of God for the works which they had completed. Now when they had come and gathered the church together, they reported all that God had done with them, and that he had opened the door of faith to the Gentiles. So they stayed there a long time with the disciples. So these three primary goals of missions that I could see in the text, and even in the other missionary journeys of Paul, you could see these three primary goals. And even in the first missionary journey, missions by Barnabas. The first one is, that's a given, to spread the gospel. Verse 21. The Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there, and having persuaded the multitudes, verse 21. And when they had preached the gospel to that city and made many disciples, they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, which city? This, in the context of this, it was the first missionary journey of Paul. You know, Paul was, in chapter 11, we see there that Barnabas took Paul from Tarsus and went and led them to the church in Antioch. That's this new church. So while this new church has been ministered to by Barnabas, Paul and Barnabas ministered to this church, and they strengthened. And later on, this small church, a new church, when they were strengthened, they became a missionary sending church. So you see in verse 13, it says there, now in the church that was at Antioch, there were certain prophets and teachers, Barnabas, Simon, who was called Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manaen, who had been brought up with Herod at the Tetrarch, and Saul. As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, now separate for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So the church in Antioch that has been strengthened and encouraged now has Paul and Barnabas being sent by the Holy Spirit. Then, having fasted and prayed and laid hands on them, they sent them away. The church sent them away. So being sent out by the Holy Spirit, they went down to Cilicia, and from there they sailed to Cyprus. And when they arrived in Salamis, they preached the word of God in the synagogues of the Jews. They also had John as their assistant. That is John Mark. That is chapter 13. So that is the first missionary journey. And from where they go, they went first the synagogue of the Jews. I think that's the command of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the Jew first. But every time that they go to that synagogue, some believe, and a lot of Gentiles believe as well, and some doesn't. And those who doesn't, they persecuted Paul and Barnabas, and they chased them away. So when they're being chased away, they go to another place, which is Perga in Pamphylia, and in Antioch, which is Antioch of Pisidia, and Iconium, and Lystra, and Derbe. Every time that they go to each city, they preach the gospel. And every time there's also, as well, opposition. And those who believe in there, they were Paul and Barnabas goes back, they strengthen them once again. So the first primary goal of mission is to spread the gospel, preach the gospel. Second goal is to encourage believers. Verse 22. It says, strengthening the souls. When they returned to Lystra, Iconium, and Antioch, strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith. So, to encourage believers. They asked them to continue going on the faith. The third is reaching and helping out the poor and sick and needy. Which is, you will see that in verse 8 and 10. Verse 8 and 10 says, when they were in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a cripple from his mother's womb who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up, straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. So, second thing that I could see is reaching out or helping out the poor or sick or needy. That is the same way as well if we go back to the first mission trip that Barnabas said. Going back to that passage, verse 11 to 24, 11 and chapter 11, 24, it says, for he was a good man, full of the Holy Spirit of faith, and a great many people were added to the Lord. So, that is spreading the gospel. Barnabas spread the gospel, preached the gospel there, and a many, it says there, added people to the Lord. People were added to the Lord. Verse 23, to encourage believers, it says there, when he came and had seen the grace of God, he was glad and encouraged them. All that with purpose of heart, they should continue with the faith. The third, reaching, helping out the poor, sick and needy, in verse 29, it says there, then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren dwelling in Judea. What happened there was, during their stay in the church in Antioch, there was a famine in the land. And then they determined, they gathered relief goods. All the believers there got relief goods to be sent to Judea. So, those are the three primary goal of missions, to spread the gospel, to encourage the believers, reaching or helping out the poor, sick, and needy. That's what the mission team did in the Philippines. Again, second day, we went to this small church, just starting to help them in building their worship place. In the Pugaro church, you see there that they just started probably 2 or 3 years. They have a place, but just have a nipa hat. So the church, the mission team went there to help them out build. As well, in our presence, the brethren there were encouraged and hoping and praying as well that as they are being strengthened and encouraged, they might someday be an instrument of God's grace to other believers as well, just like in the church in Antioch. The third day, we went to a Bible school and donated commentary books and systematic theology books so that they can further be equipped for the ministry, and Pastor Sam encouraged them as well for the ministry that they should continue on. The fourth and fifth day, we shared the gospel message to the high school students on 2 schools. One in Pugaro, where we Pastor Sunny and the 2 of our youth gave their testimony. For this youth, there are more than 200 something youth who are listening, and as well we give some notebook and pencils to them. And the next day, we go to another school, which is in Bunuan Bukig National High School. Same thing as well. The gospel has been preached by Pastor Sunny, and testimonies for our young people did this as well. The 6 day we did the youth conference where almost 900 youth are in attendance. The very first youth gathering in Pangasinan that is well attended with 36 churches in attendance. The youth were energized and encouraged through the conference. It was a big impact to them, and I heard a lot of feedback from the people who attended it, and they were hoping that it would happen again. Like, we could see the hand of God working in that conference, because at first, we were not expecting that big crowd. And our original plan was probably around 300, 400 youth would attend, but as the Holy Spirit moves, a lot of people are coming in to register. And sometimes we were worried because we were not prepared for it. I think the youth were become nervous as well because they're the ones speaking. But Pastor Sunny pulled him aside and they prayed. And it was a success. We couldn't even imagine how we could feed those almost 900 students because we feed them and give them t-shirts. And it was a blessing to see those youth coming together, singing praises to the Lord during those conferences. The seventh and ninth day, we went to Baguio City and ministered the church there through the preaching, as well Bible study and also prayer meeting. The 11th day, we went to Manila, to PGH, to the Cancer Institute, ministering to the cancer patients from kids to adult, praying for them and as well giving a smile to the kids by giving them stuffed animals. You could see sometimes the joy or the smile of the kids' faces receiving the stuffed toys, even though they are having a chemotherapy, and sometimes your heart will melt seeing them. But we pray for those babies, we pray for the parents, and as well, given the opportunity sharing the good news of salvation. The 12th day, the last day that we have, we wake up early, 5 o'clock in the morning, to go to that junk shop ministry so that we could catch those people who are doing scrap metal and recyclables so they could sell it. And we partnered with Vision Isaiah. We give them coffee and pandesal and then talk to them and share the gospel to them. Share the love of our Lord Jesus Christ. The women went to Familia Hospital and talked to and ministered to the young parents, young mothers in Familia Hospital. All of this was done through your generous support to the mission. You see, this is why we do mission, and this is our goal why we do mission: to preach the gospel, to encourage and strengthen the brethren, and to help the sick and the needy. We would like to assure you as well that we are accountable to God first, and secondly to you on the funds you entrusted to us, as we spend it wisely and make sure that the plans we have has been completed and accomplished. And we are looking forward for the next mission trip that God would lay out for us. And I hope together as a church we'll continue to support this ministry. And I hope and pray that maybe one of you will be used by God and will be stirred up to be a missionary in whatever door that God will open for us. I must add that we don't need to go far away to achieve the goal of mission. We can, in our own backyard, be an instrument in proclaiming the gospel, strengthening our fellow brethren, and helping and praying for the sick and the needy. We can support our local pantry so that whenever someone in need, help will be readily available. As has been announced, we just open up our pantry there. We could bring some goods so that our brethren who are in need will have some. Our own church can be a mission field. If somebody here has not had that personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit is talking to you right now. You see, the word mission is derived from the Latin word missio, from the word mittere, which literally translated sent. Christ sends us the Holy Spirit, and He is convicting you right now. Maybe your life is a mess right now, and your life has no direction. Maybe you are in trouble, and you don't know what to do. Maybe you are lost. The Lord Jesus says, I come to seek to save the one which was lost. If you are now acknowledge that you are lost in sin, and you are helpless and can't get out of it, the Lord is seeking you right now. Revelation 3:20 says, listen, I stand at the door and knock. Whoever hears my voice and opens the door of his heart, I will come in and dine with him and him with me. Listen, the Lord Jesus Christ is a perfect gentleman. He will not force himself onto you. He is waiting for you to open the door. All you have to do is open the door of your heart and invite him in. You do is the ABC of the gospel. A is accept that you're a sinner and you need in need of salvation because you cannot save yourself. B is believe in your heart that Christ's death on the cross is enough to save you from your sin. And C is confess your sin to him because he is faithful and just to forgive you from your sin. If you will do this, the Lord Jesus Christ will come and turn your heart and will save you. Don't forget, we as a congregation are all partners with this mission. We all have a mission to do. I hope and I pray that the congregation will continue to support this important ministry of the church in the mission field.